Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your weekend is treating you well. Fun weekend of topics going into the week. Wasn't exactly sure what I was going to talk about with no game today, no preview show, and had kind of a Saturday open. If you missed yesterday's 12 things that the Packers can do right now to fix this team. Thought it was a really fun episode, and we kind of go through some of the things that Green Bay can kind of hit the easy button on. Nothing's too complicated, and just help them to kind of play better the rest of the season. Hopefully we see some of those things in the near future. Then Mike Wall had a great film breakdown yesterday, and today we're going to be going over that magic buzzword that's surrounding the Green Bay Packers, and more specifically, Matt LaFleur play calling. We're going to look at this past game against the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to go through some plays with you and kind of show you, was it a bad play call? Was it a good play call? Was it poorly executed? Was it, you know, well executed? We're going to go through all of it today because I do feel like a lot of times the easy button to explain things away is, what a stupid play call. And sometimes that very much is the case. We're going to go through some of those plays today. In some cases, the play call was totally fine and it was poorly executed, or the defense had a good play and they kind of shut it down. We're going to go through that today. I think it's an interesting look at some of the things that Green Bay is doing well and some of the things that Green Bay can improve upon a little bit as well. And maybe more specifically, what Matt LaFleur is doing well and some of the things that he can improve upon as a play caller. All right, let's get to our injury report for this game. The Packers list two players as out, Nate Hobbs and LVN. We knew about those two, no surprises there. But four players who are questionable that could have a big impact, whether or not they play in this game or not. Matthew Golden, Zach Tom, Dontavian Wicks, and Savion Williams. Now, Zach Tom practiced all week. He was limited on Saturday. I would probably put him closer to probable than questionable, but man, if he can't go, that would be a huge loss for the Packers. Dontavian Wicks, similar. He's listed as questionable, did practice all week, was once again limited in practice. Hopefully he can go. With the other two injuries at wide receiver, they very well could need him quite a bit in this game. I say other two, but really we know you also have Jaden Reed out, Christian Watson still coming back, meaning that he's going to be on some sort of snap count. There's a lot going on at wide receiver. Savion Williams, questionable, was limited in practice, but apparently he did not go outside right away with the team. That is concerning. And then Matthew Golden did not participate on Saturday. That's usually a very bad sign. My assumption is he probably doesn't go. Now, I'm sure Matt LaFleur would say they'll give him up until kickoff, and I'm sure that they will, but that is a huge potential loss for Green Bay if he can't go in this game. So remember, they don't need to make any transactions. They didn't on Saturday. They didn't need to. Sunday, there's no transactions, but because they play on Monday night, they can make their practice squad call-ups and transactions on Monday. So we'll be kind of keeping an eye on that, especially at the wide receiver position. Right now, healthy, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson probably on about a 35 to 38 play snap count in that game. Likely Dontavian Wicks would be my guess, but he very well could be on a snap count as well. And then you've got Malik Heath, Bo Melton, who you might have to have play a little bit more wide receiver in this game. And then you're probably looking at a practice squad wide receiver being called up as well to help you out. It's getting very thin, and depending on what Wicks can give you, and a really bad scenario in which Wicks and Golden and Savion can't play, with Jaden Reed already being out, you could be down to Doubs, Watson, Heath, maybe Melton, and one or two practice squad wide receivers. So Monday is going to be very important for Green Bay from a how many receivers do they call up standpoint, and just which of these wide receivers can ultimately go. But again, questionable, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, Savion Williams, and then also Zach Tom, who fingers crossed, hopefully will be able to play in this game. For Philadelphia, really the only one you need to know is Cam Jurgens is out, their starting center. That definitely is going to affect them. Maybe it affects the tush push a little bit as well. He's a very good starting center, and that will definitely impact the interior of their offensive line. Everyone else should be good to go for Philadelphia. They list three as questionable, but all three of them are full participants. Probably not noteworthy anyway. So the big one here is Cam Jurgens. Matt LaFleur also did confirm that Brandon McManus is going to be the kick on Monday after Rich Bisaccia did the day prior. So no confusion there. Brandon McManus is the kicker for this game, for better or worse. We will have to find out to see how he does in that huge game, Monday Night Football. Also, games to keep an eye on Sunday: Bears, Giants, Ravens, Vikings, and Patriots, Buccaneers at noon. Of course, you're probably cheering for the Patriots against the Buccaneers. That probably goes without saying. Ravens over Vikings, and then Giants over Bears. 325, Rams 49ers is a really interesting one. I think you probably want to cheer for the 49ers in that game, but it gets a little bit interesting. It depends on if you're cheering for Green Bay to get in the playoffs or if you're cheering for Green Bay to get the number one seed. That's probably your difference there. And then Lions Commanders, clearly cheering for the Commanders in that one, but that's going to be a tough one for Washington with all the injuries that they have. And Lions, I'm sure, being pretty pissed off after a loss to Minnesota a week ago. I'd expect the Lions to boat race the Commanders in that one, although the line's a little bit interesting. I think it's only like 7.5. Now it's in Washington, but interesting nonetheless. All right, let's get to our main topic for today, and that is the Packers, Matt LaFleur, and more specifically, the play calling. Now, full disclosure, a couple things. I would love to show you guys film. We do get the copyright, infractions when we do show film. I might get it for showing the actual plays, just the still shots of the plays as well. So I'm going to do my best with the still shots. If you are listening on the audio podcast, I'm going to do my absolute best to describe these plays as best as I absolutely can so that it's still worthwhile on the audio. But if you are listening on the audio, this may be one where it's a little bit better to check out on the video podcast because there will be images that go along with it. So again, audio listeners, I promise I'm going to do my best. And video listeners, I wish I had actual film for you, but we're going to go with the still shots today. And some of these, you're going to have to kind of take my word for, I guess, a little bit more. But if you'd like to go and watch them on film, you can certainly do so over at NFL Plus or NFL Pro and get those signed up there. Let's start with the first play. In fact, this was the very first play of the game. And what we're going to be doing today is, again, going through, are these good play calls? Are they bad play calls? What went wrong? Why did Green Bay not execute it? I'm going to try to break it down as best I can. So this is the very first offensive play for Green Bay in this game. It's first and 10, as you can see on the screen, 12-21 in the first quarter. Green Bay's on their own 28-yard line. They're going with double tight end sets, two wide receivers to the left, Josh Jacobs in the backfield. And what Matt LaFleur is trying to do here is he is trying to get a play action shot play right out of the gate. And you're going to see Luke Musgrave lined up in the inline tight end position on the left side. And he's going to go right up the seam and do kind of a crossing route towards the sideline. And he's going to come wide open on the play. And it looks certainly from the end zone view, and I don't have a picture of it here, but it looks certainly from the end zone view that it's right within Jordan Love's throwing lane and like he's looking right at it. Now, Tucker Kraft's going to be right underneath it, but Luke Musgrave becomes wide open on this play. This is a beautifully designed play. It's a shot play-ish right away on first down. You're also going to pressure the single high safety. Christian Watson's going to run a deep play, and the safety ends up kind of in no man's land because he's almost in between Christian Watson and Luke Musgrave on this play. This is one I wish Jordan Love ultimately would have been able to see down the field. You're seeing it now on the screen. You can see Luke Musgrave has all that space in front of him. That number 32 in the middle of the field has no chance of making a play here. And here's the other thing, too. If you see like Christian Watson's bolting down the field and number 22, the safety for Carolina, is in a bit of no man's land here. The interesting thing is Jordan has time. He is ready, cocked, ready to load, ready and loaded, and ready to throw this ball. And he's got Luke Musgrave coming along deep, and he's got Christian Watson one-on-one for a player that later on would throw a way worse position ball to Christian Watson in triple coverage. I wouldn't necessarily hate if he took the one-on-one shot here to Christian and just saw if Christian could outrun it. And he actually has the wind with him in this situation. Obviously, the easy answer here is Luke Musgrave. You hit him, this thing's going at least 30 yards, if not maybe more. And if he makes one person miss, which is, to be fair, not exactly what Luke Musgrave is known for, but if he makes one person miss, he might be gone. Or somehow Christian Watson gets over and makes that block, he might be gone. So this is a beautifully drawn up play on the very first play of the game. Now, the result here was a check down to Josh Jacobs. Jacobs made two people miss and got 8 yards out of the play. But this is a well-designed, great called play right on first down, opening play. They're geared up to stop Josh Jacobs, and you're getting a beautiful look at Luke Musgrave that's wide open and a potential one-on-one shot. And also this in-seam or in-cutting route to Romeo Doubs here, not a bad potential option as well. Matt drew up a play really to get three people off, you know, open. I'm not sure what Jordan Love didn't like about any of those three options, but he decides to check it down to Jacobs. Kudos to Jacobs for making two people miss and getting 7 yards out of it. But this is a well-designed, well-drawn-up play, perfectly called play that ends up being a 7 or 8 yard play instead of a huge play down the field, specifically if he hits Luke Musgrave, who's wide open on the play. All right, let's get to our second play here. And this, of course, is the famous Savion Williams fumble that, completely stalls out the drive and results in 0 points. Green Bay had been driving. They drove all the way down, meticulously down the field. They matriculated the ball down the field. It is first and 10 from the Carolina 16-yard line, 6:42 left in the first quarter, 0-0 game. Again, same drive as the play that we saw earlier. It's the continuation of that. And Matt's first and 10. And he just wants to stay manageable in this situation. So he's got a run pass option on this play, or what he would probably call a run play with a run solution. So again, we've got five offensive linemen, two tight ends to the right, same side. We've got Romeo Doubs and Savion Williams as the receivers on the outside here. And what you're looking at here, if you're Jordan Love, is do you want to run the ball, or do you want to hit the little bubble screen to the outside? And this is a very fair play call in this scenario. Like, again, you're trying to establish the run. And what I would consider this as, okay, and I think probably what most, you know, coaches would kind of consider this as, is whether you're throwing to Savion or whether you're handing it off to Josh Jacobs, this is a run play, all right? It technically is going to count as a pass to Savion Williams, but it's a run. And you're giving the option of, do you want Josh Jacobs here to run the football behind this line and, you know, and have him run right up the middle? Or is it a better option to throw to Savion Williams and let him run the football behind his one blocker in Romeo Doubs? So what is Jordan looking at here? The first thing is simple math, right? He's got an 8-man box and the safety is lined up a little bit more, you know, to the wide receiver side, but he's still deep and he's still, you know, able to kind of come down and crash in the box if need be, if you do hand this off to Josh Jacobs. But clearly here, this is a very strong 8-man box for Carolina. And generally don't want to run into a stuffed, crammed 8-man box, especially when you've got, you know, five offensive linemen, two tight ends. You've only got 7 blockers for 8 defenders. And yes, Josh Jacobs can do some amazing things, but that's probably not the situation that you want. So you're going to look outside. You're going to look at the Savion Williams opportunity here. And you've got Romeo Doubs as the blocker. You've got Savion Williams on the outside. Williams is a little bit stacked, sort of offset to the left of Romeo Doubs. And if you look at the two corners for Carolina, one's like 5 yards off of, maybe 5-6 yards off of Romeo Doubs. And then the other corner is what? So Williams is at about the 18. And so he's about 10 yards away from Savion Williams. And so what Jordan is correctly reading here, and again, it's a perfectly normal play call in this sort of scenario, is that Romeo's got this one corner to block. And then if he makes that block, Savion gets the ball and he just has one player. And we've seen plays like this in the past, by the way, like Jordy Nelson was so good at this, where he puts his foot in the ground, makes one guy miss. And before you know it, Jordy's in the end zone. Now, I'm not comparing Savion Williams to Jordy Nelson, but I'm saying, like, we've seen plays like this where you get the one-on-one and he makes a player miss and he's gone, right? You're basically drawing up a one-on-one play where even if, you know, if Romeo gets a piece of the blocker, and even if the corner here, I think that's JC Horn, makes a really good play on Savion Williams, Savion probably picks up about 3 yards on the play. So you're probably talking about a 2nd and 7, right? But unfortunately, as we see the end result here, the corner completely blows through Romeo Doubs, and then Savion Williams compounds the issue. He does a great job initially of trying to fight through that contact, although he runs right up the back of Romeo Doubs and then gets contacted. Everyone rallies to the football. He ends up fumbling the ball, and it's a disastrous play. So what are we looking at here? What I would say is this is a disastrously executed play and a totally normal play call and the completely right read by Jordan Love. So the one thing I do want to point out here, though, is that on this play, the corner triggered pretty darn quickly to the little bubble screen on the outside. I would have personally liked to see that be a little bit more of a tell to Matt LaFleur for the rest of the game of, hey, they're triggering quick on these wide receiver screens. This is the first one that you threw, and the corner was all over it and went right through Romeo Doubs. that probably is your indicator of like, these might not work great the rest of the game. And yet he called a lot more of them the rest of the game. So I just think if there's anything that you want to maybe glean from that play, it's that they were ready for that sort of play, that you've shown it before on tape and they clearly were prepared for it. So you probably need to course correct the remainder of the game. Matt LaFleur did not. But in this situation, to me, fair play call. Is it the greatest play call in the world? No, but it's a totally normal first and 10 run play. You've got two options on the play baked in. Jordan made the right read and what option that you want to go with. And this is a poorly executed play by Romeo Doubs and Savion Williams, compounded by a brutal fumble by Savion Williams. And Matt really kind of didn't learn from it with that corner attacking it early, shutting down the play. And he continued to kind of go to these plays the remainder of the game. All right. So that's that play. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now it's time to start getting ready for week 10. We've got a huge one Monday night, Philly coming to Green Bay. This should be a huge opportunity for Green Bay, and I'm expecting a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs in what hopes to be a bounce back win for Green Bay. Elsewhere in week 10, I'm going with big games from Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Quinshon Judkins. The best part, Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter your play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Hey friends, we've all gone through difficult times, whether it be with addiction, heartbreak, financial troubles, or hundreds of other challenging situations that get presented to us on a day-to-day basis. I know I certainly have, and if you have, just know you're not alone. And the thing is, taking care of your mental health shouldn't be harder than taking care of your physical health. If you pull a muscle, you go see a doctor. But when it comes to finding the right therapist, suddenly it's frustrating. You've got long wait lists or you're staring down huge out-of-pocket costs. That's what usually stops people from getting help. That's where Rula comes in. Rula makes therapy simple, affordable, and fast. They work with most major insurance plans and the average session copay is just $15. Just 15 bucks. Every therapist on the platform is licensed, vetted, and picked for their expertise, so you know you're going to talk to somebody legit, not just whoever happens to be available. And getting started could not be easier. You answer a few quick questions about what matters to you, and Rula connects you with in-network providers who actually fit your needs. You pick the time, and you could be talking to a therapist and as soon as the next day. I can't stress enough how much therapy has been a blessing in my life, and it can be in yours as well. And Rula gives you that opportunity without having to break the bank. Now, thousands of guys have already used Rula to finally get the care they've needed, so don't keep putting it off. Go to Rula.com/Packaday and get started today. That's Rula.com/Packaday. Take the first step, get connected, and take control of your mental health. All right, next up here, we have a first and 10 play. Green Bay is on their own 20-yard line, and this is a pretty nondescript play in the game. I honestly don't even know off the top of my head. Oh, it's I think maybe a little either a throwaway or I think a little check down to Josh Jacobs. Doesn't the point here is not the actual result of the play. But I think this is an example of where Matt's just a little bit too over-aggressive. Carolina on that first drive already showed that they were going to play pretty soft coverage on defense. And so Matt comes out on this very first play and he does a little play action play. And what you're going to see here on the next one is they're trying to go down the field to Christian Watson, or I can't tell who that other, maybe it's Doubs on the other side. Down the field here. And you can just tell there's three options right here in the deep portion of the field. And they've got six Carolina Panthers surrounding them on the play. And this is, again, an example of they were playing this soft zone coverage and calling an aggressive play down the field on first down again probably was not going to be your best option here. Yet he, I think, got a little bit aggressive. Now, again, I think Jordan checks it down to Josh Jacobs here. It's not the end of the world, but this is probably an example of, hey, can you just be a little bit more patient? I know it's 0-0. I know you fumbled away an opportunity on that very first play, but let's maybe calm down a little bit. Now, the interesting thing about this one is Matt called three shot plays basically in a row. And I guess if you convert one of them, it's fine, right? There was this play where they're trying to get these three players deep down the field. It doesn't work. They have to check it down. The next play, they take the shot play to Matthew Golden where he couldn't hang out. It's also good defense. I think it's by Merrick again on that play. And then the third one is the deep ball to Christian Watson that does work. So I guess if you're going to, you know, if you get one out of every three, you're fine in the end. But I thought this was a great example. And almost this drive was a great example of like, that's not the defense that you can attack with these continuous deep throws down the field. And they threw away kind of two plays by trying to get a deep ball here. And then the next play, trying to get one to Matthew Golden that just really wasn't there. And then thankfully, Christian was able to pay off the next one where Carolina still had good coverage, but Christian went up and made a great play on the ball. Again, just probably a little bit too over aggressive here from Matt. All right, next one. We've got third and 23 on the Panthers 31-yard line. So this is going to be another one of those screen plays. This one's just going to Emmanuel Wilson. This was after the false snap by Elgton Jenkins, a sack allowed by Jordan Morgan, and then a false start by Christian Watson. And all of a sudden you're sitting at third and 23, right? I think there was another bad play, I think, mixed in there as well. But either way, you're third and 23. You're at the 31-yard line. It's a 48-yarder right now. Your odds of converting anything 24 yards or more are probably pretty slim. And you're just trying to do anything you can maybe to help out your kicker who's been struggling to make this a little bit easier. So you're calling a screen pass to Emmanuel Wilson, trying to get this maybe from the 31 down to the 20 and maybe make this a 37, 38-yard field goal rather than right now a 48-yard field goal. If you can pick up 10 yards, you feel a lot better about this field goal opportunity. And if you look at the play, you know, Emmanuel Wilson's got two blockers in front of him. He should be able to easily get past, you know, this first defender if this blocker makes his block. And I would say, like, you've got, I think Tucker Kraft coming in the middle of the field maybe to help you with a block as well. I would guess you get to maybe about the 24-yard line, which probably makes that closer to like a 41-yard field goal, which you probably feel a little bit better about. Is it the, again, most gorgeous play call in the world? Probably not, but an understandable one if you're trying to go 24 yards down the field against this defense that's been playing super soft all day and now has every right to play soft in this moment. You're not going to get a whole heck of a lot. So just try to get as many yards as you can, make it easier for your field goal kicker. Instead, Emmanuel Wilson drops the ball. It's incomplete. Thankfully, Brandon McManus still pays that one off with a 49-yard field goal. The kick is good. But here again, in the moment, does this look like a great play call? No, probably not. Do I understand it on a third and 23? 1,000,000%. No issue with that one whatsoever. All right, next up, we get a first and 10, Panthers 12-yard line, 21 seconds left. This is right before halftime. Green Bay's down by four. And I thought Matt did a really nice job here of drawing up a play that's going to get Romeo Doubs a post route in the end zone, which, again, I've talked about this week, I think is NFL open. And Jordan gets a little bit spooked and rolls out of the pocket. And instead of staying in the pocket and delivering what should have been a touchdown throw to Romeo Doubs, again, he gets a little bit skittish. He jumps out of the pocket. Even once he jumps out of the pocket, he's going to have the opportunity to reset his feet and I think hit Romeo for that post play for a touchdown. Instead, he continues to roll to his right and he eventually dirts the ball on the ground. You can see here, for those of you who are watching on YouTube, that Doubs is coming open. You're going to have to take my word for this a little bit more. The safety that is covering Christian Watson does go down with Christian Watson. He's not in the play. And I think, again, that's number two for Carolina. He does not cross the face of Romeo Doubs. If Love stays right here where he is in the pocket and is planted here, he's going to hit Romeo Doubs for what should be a touchdown on that play. And instead, he continues to roll all the way to his right and just, I think, dirts it right in front of Emmanuel Wilson. So again, a lot of people may be upset with the play calling or maybe even the time management at the end of the first half. If this play gets executed, Romeo Doubs, touchdown, middle of the end zone, Green Bay goes up 10-7 going into halftime. Maybe game feels a little bit different and hopefully game ends a whole heck of a lot different. Instead, they end up having to settle for a field goal at the end and it doesn't have that same feel of if you get a touchdown there right before halftime. All right, moving now to the second half of the game, our very next play here, we've got third and 10. We've got the ball on Carolina's 31-yard line with 11:17 remaining in the game. You've got Doubs, Watson, and Golden at wide receiver. Doubs is going to motion to the right. You've got Luke Musgrave as the single tight end to the left with Chris Brooks in the backfield. And this is one that I really cannot defend and do not have any sort of positive thing to say for. Dobbs is going to come in motion. They're going to snap it. The offensive linemen are going to release. It's going to be a little tunnel screen or, you know, bubble screen to the outside to Matthew Golden. And you'll see here, he really has no chance. Carolina rallies to this football really well, as they've been doing all game. Really poor blocking as well. You can see here, two players just missed their blocks. And maybe if they make those, Golden's got the opportunity to get upfield and get a big play. Again, I'm sure Matt maybe saw something on tape here, but I talked about it this week, and we're going to talk about it again later in the episode. But I hate on have to have it situations where you're calling screenplays, because as Matt said this week, you know, it's do or die. Like, it works or it doesn't, you know. So these are plays where you have no ad lib ability off of it. If you throw it and the Carolina defenders are just jumping all over it, it's not going to succeed. And whereas, like, on a normal play, if you call a play and maybe the first read's not open, maybe you get to your second or third or fourth read, or maybe even Love is able to buy time, make a play down the field, or maybe he scrambles and takes off and picks up yardage. Instead here, again, Carolina rallies to the football really well. Even their defensive linemen, you can see here, are rallying to the football. I think Golden ends up getting about 6 yards on the play. It's fourth and four. You're going for the field goal. I believe this is the one that Brandon McManus ultimately missed on the day and kept it at a 7-6 game. And this is, again, a play call that I hate on third down. You want to call it on second down, I don't have a ton of issue with it. If you want to call it on third down, though, you better make it, because if not, again, you're just settling. Now, maybe if they get to, you know, fourth and two, fourth and one, Matt's probably going for it. So maybe he's thinking, hey, all I need here is 8 yards. But even that, I don't love that idea, because it's not like fourth and two or fourth and three are guaranteed conversions. Like, you can still turn over the ball on downs then. And I'd rather just have you throw something at or past the sticks to give you an opportunity to actually pick up that first down. I didn't think that this was the right play call in this scenario. I didn't think it gave Green Bay a great opportunity to be successful. Ultimately, it ends in like a fourth and four and a missed field goal for Green Bay. I thought this was one of Matt's poorer calls on the day. All right, next up here, you have a first and 10. Green Bay is on their own 24-yard line. Again, they are down 7-6. They're still only down a point in this game. And as you're going to see here, this is the interception to Christian Watson. Now, bad play call, bad execution. What are we looking at here? So this is a opportunity where you're trying to get them to, you know, maybe sit on a route or, you know, get Romeo Doubs over the middle of the field. And instead, it really seems here like Jordan Love is going to predetermine the throw, that he is deciding he's going to Christian down the field no matter what. There's a lot of things I don't like about this from Jordan's standpoint. Number one, again, as you can see on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, he's got two defenders on Christian that are running with him and are, what, 2 to 3 yards ahead of him. So Christian does not have the advantage on this play. The second is Merrig has no defender that he needs to cover in his area of the field. So he can also range over, and he's even deeper down the field than where the other two safeties are. The other two aspects, well, three aspects really of this is Jordan's throwing into the wind. So he needs to know he's not going to be able to get as much under this as he wants to. Second of all, as you can see here, Sean Ryan is getting beat on the play. And because he's getting beat on the play, you are forcing, or Jordan, what's going to happen is he's going to throw flat-footed. He doesn't even need to get to step into this throw, which if you are going to throw this and it is going to be against the wind, he needs to very much get that ball torqued as much as he possibly can. He doesn't. He's flat-footed, and the ball falls, you know, hilariously short. And then the other thing here is, as far as the play call here, yeah, probably maybe a little bit too aggressive again here on first down. Matt, again, can you just run the offense, you know, take the 5 or 6 yard plays and, you know, whatever. There's a point to that, absolutely. But also, you have options here for Jordan. This play over the middle to Romeo Doubs is probably where I want to see this ball go. You know, he's planted, he's looking in the middle of the field. Those linebackers, we saw him kind of throw this pass a little bit later in the game where he gets it up and over the linebacker. And I think it's about a 30-yard completion over the middle of the field to Romeo Doubs, where maybe it's a little bit less than that, but it's a gorgeous play. I think it actually might've been earlier in the game. But either way, it's, you know, he throws this play later to Romeo. It's not the exact same play, but in the same spot of the field over the linebackers and completes it beautifully. He has this here. I think this is where you certainly would want to go with the ball. But even if he doesn't feel like he can get it to Romeo, and obviously Christian's not a good option, all right, well, then you've got the little check down here. I think that's, I want to say it's Musgrave, maybe it's Fitzpatrick here, but you've got a little check down. Is it going to get much? No. My guess is he's probably stopped at around the line of scrimmage. Maybe he gets about a yard on the play. Either way, it's a better situation than throwing the deep ball. So I think this is probably a little bit of an over-aggressive play call again by Matt, but you've got options here. And I think Romeo is the best option, but you also have a check down option. He doesn't use either of them. He gets over-aggressive. I think this is a poor read, a poor decision, a poor throw, a brutal play by Jordan Love. No other way to put it. Again, probably would put this one a little less on Matt, although maybe it's a little bit over-aggressive as well. All right, next up here, we have a third quarter play, 2:08 left. It's a 1st and 10. Green Bay is on their own 20-yard line or 29-yard line. Green Bay is down by 7 at this point. So this is your first play call immediately following the interception. So you give up the interception, Carolina goes down and scores, and now you get the ball back, and it's your very first play. And you decide that you're going to run a pitch play to the outside for Josh Jacobs. Inherently, it's just a pitch play. And there's a lot of run plays in this game that, you know, don't go for much or 1 or 2 yards. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I have less issues with any of the run calls in this game and just a lot more issues with some of the like blocking up front, which we've talked about. But this one, I don't know. It just feels a little bit like we're going to try to ask our line to do too much on a pitch play to the outside. It doesn't even look like it's, I don't have you know if Jordan has the ability to check out of the play or not. But they run this play and it's to the outside. The blocking is, you see two Green Bay offensive linemen on the ground. John Fitzpatrick gets called for a hold. Nobody blocks it up and you end up with a 2-yard loss. I don't know if we want to criticize the play calling here because it's just really atrocious blocking. So that is a piece of it. I also, like, you just threw the pick. The other team is now up by 7. And this just feels like we're now going to pitch it outside to Josh Jacobs on 1st down and ask for like 3, 4, 5 blocks to go right in order to get yardage on this play. This is another one. Just like, I don't think that that's probably what you want to try to do here. The play loses 3 yards and you get a holding penalty. They decline the holding penalty, take the 3-yard loss instead. And it ends up being a 2nd and 13 play. Didn't think this was Matt's best effort here. All right. Next up, you've got a 4th and 4 play. 14:55 left in the fourth quarter. Ball is on Carolina's 36-yard line. You are down by 7. It's the opening of the fourth quarter, and it's a 4th down. This feels like a very big moment in the game at the time. If you turn it over on downs, you're giving them the ball at the 36-yard line, depending on where the ball is turned over, of course. But I thought this was a really well-drawn-up play by Matt. You've got your blocking running back in Chris Brooks. And I'm sure Carolina, to some extent, is expecting that when they bring pressure up the middle, which they do, that Chris Brooks is going to be forced to block inside. And on a 4th and 4 play, you're probably not expecting a little flare pass out into the backfield, right? But this is a beautifully drawn up play. Actually, the linebacker on the far side is the linebacker that's in, you know, coverage on Chris Brooks on the play. He has no chance of getting over to Chris Brooks. So Brooks just sprints out to the short side of the field behind Malik Heath, who's going down the field. Brooks catches it in acres of space, and you end up with a really easy 1st down on the play, as easy of a 1st down as Chris Brooks is ever going to pick up on a key 4th and 4 situation. So I thought this was really well done by Matt. Kind of anticipated the rush by Carolina, anticipated they probably thought that Brooks was going to stay in and block. He didn't. He screams to the outside, easy completion, big 4th down pickup for Green Bay. Then we get down, and this is going to look like a very familiar play. We've got our stack to the bottom of the field, and Emmanuel Wilson's doing his little skip step to the outside. Romeo Doubs is 1-on-1. But what you might recognize is this is not a 3rd and 4 play. This is a 2nd and 8 play. And I talked about this week. Green Bay ran the same play, which we're going to look at in a play from now, on the 3rd down and 4 play where Emmanuel Wilson loses a ton of yardage. They run the same play. And it's 3 blockers, Wilson to the outside. And my read on it here is that Jordan has the ability either to throw this little screen to Emmanuel Wilson or throw to Romeo Doubs up top on the little slant play. And on 2nd and 8, they call the slant or they call this play. Jordan decides to not throw the screen pass and instead goes on the 1-on-1 to Romeo Doubs. And as you can see here, it's completed. He gets, you know, what, 4 yards on the play. It ends up being a 3rd and 2 on the play, and you know, they pick up positive yardage. What I want to note here is you can kind of see below where Emmanuel Wilson's running the screen play. For Matt to call a screen play on the very next play I would have wanted to see here. Like, this is right in front of Matt. I would want him to see that, hey, Carolina actually covered that screenplay pretty well. I would want to see, like, oh, Carolina, like, was not even remotely close to covering that screenplay. But they weren't. Now, we're going to come back to this play in just a moment and look at it on third down and kind of see here. But it's worth noting, I thought Carolina did a good job of kind of covering up this screenplay, although Green Bay certainly had the numbers advantage. If this would have been a screen to Wilson and Green Bay would have blocked this up, you might have gotten a touchdown on the second down play. I don't mind the read. It's one-on-one to Romeo Dobbs. He throws to Romeo Dobbs. He picks up positive yardage and you get to a third and short situation. All right. So then we come back on third and three and we have the exact same look here. We've got three blockers down. You know, we've got Musgrave, Malik Heath, and Savion Williams with Emmanuel Wilson doing his little skip step and Romeo Dobbs likely one-on-one on the backside here. So Matt calls the same exact play two times in a row. Now, one thing I want to point out here is I don't know what options Jordan has on this play. If I had to guess, and knowing Matt and knowing how he likes to bake in a couple different things on the same play, my guess is that both of these plays, it's up to Jordan to read, do you want to throw the screen or do you want to throw to Romeo Dobbs one-on-one on the backside? And it could be, though, that on the first play, it's designed to go to Romeo. And on the second play, it's a true screen, like you're running the screen. I don't know what functionality Jordan has in the offense to say where he's going with the ball. Matt might have said, or Matt maybe called the same play and said, hey, I saw what they did in the last play. I want you to throw the screen here. Like, I don't know what all goes into this. So that's where, again, we have to parse out of like what we can tell and what we can't tell. I don't know here. It's possible that based on this look, Matt wants the ball to go to Romeo one-on-one again. And it's possible that Jordan made the wrong read. It's possible that, you know, he wants to, you know, Jordan to throw the screen. So he throws the screen. And the other thing I'll say here is I think theoretically on a three, if you look here, all right, I know we all hate this play call. And I talked about it before. I hate screen passes on half David situations because it's again, a do or die. You either hit it or you don't. And there's no other option on the play. It's a binary play. It either works or it doesn't. So I hate that aspect of it. I would have rather gone to Romeo one-on-one here and see if you could maybe hit something there. But if you look at this play, as much as maybe we all hate it, you've got a linebacker, you've got a corner that's up the field, and you've got a corner that's sitting in the end zone, you know, about 6 yards off of where the first down marker is. If these three players make their blocks, if Heath and Williams and Musgrave block the linebacker, the corner, and the nearest corner, this is about as easy of a first down as you're going to get. So I will say again, don't like the screen call in this situation and probably would have rather preferred the slant play to Romeo Dobbs if he has the opportunity to throw it there. But if you just execute your blocks on this play, this should pick up a first down or at least get you in like a fourth and inches at very, very worst. Even if it goes poorly, it should be a fourth and inches. But this is where I want to go back to that opening screenplay of the game. And we saw this a little bit earlier as well. Carolina's been attacking your screen game all game long. And to make matters worse, you just showed this play the play before. So yeah, Carolina has to be a little bit on alert of like, are they really going to run the same thing twice in a row? But you just showed it. So you know what Wilson and these three blockers are doing. And especially with the situation you're set up in, you've got the deep safety over the top here. So even if they're faking something where they're going to fake the little screen and maybe try to hit a player up the field, you've got that covered as well. So that allows this up corner here to attack this aggressively, which is exactly what he does. And what you end up with is a loss of 4 yards on the play or 5 yards on the play. And you end up with a 4th and 8 situation. This play goes backwards. So this is sort of a mix and match, right? Choose your own adventure. It's possible. Well, I hate the play call almost no matter what, because I hate the screen option here on a half to have it. It's possible that Jordan maybe didn't make the right read. And if, as you can see up top here, you know, Romeo's open on the slant play, probably could have gone there instead. And then it's just an atrociously executed play as well. And you maybe didn't learn from earlier in the game where these wide receiver screens have been, you know, or any screens have been attacked pretty aggressively. And this one was as well, and you lose 5 yards on the play. We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday. So that brings us to 4th and 8. And what's the play call on 4th and 8 here? And Matt talked in the post-game press conference of how he didn't like this play call, wishes he could have had it back. What you're trying to get here is basically Savion Williams is kind of a decoy running over the middle of the field. He doesn't even get to the sticks. I don't even know. Like, Savion probably needs to get to the sticks in the middle of the field, but probably a poorly run route there. He probably needs to hit the sticks at worst, right? You've got Romeo Doubs running a quick out, you know, around the 5-yard line, right at the sticks is where I'm guessing this thing is supposed to end up, right at the sticks on an out. And then you've got Malik Heath on a deep corner route to the back corner of the end zone. And ultimately, on a 4th and 8 here, what the play is drawn up to do is to hit Malik Heath on the back corner of this end zone on a corner out for a touchdown. All right. If you look at how this is set up, it kind of should work. The fact that you, first of all, went for it, which we've all discussed is a horrible idea in this situation, kick the field goal. But the second, I love Malik Heath, no disrespect given. But after a timeout, your play call is to draw up a play for Malik Heath in the back corner of the end zone. I'm not sure that that's your ultimate play call in a must-have 4th and 8 situation. However, it's tough to see here. Actually, it's not. You can see it on the screen. Heath is going to be open in the back corner of the end zone. Love is going to have him. Love is going to have him pretty dang open by NFL standards. Notice where Romeo Doubs is on this play. Again, if I don't know the play call, right, I would be willing to bet you a good chunk of money that out route was supposed to stop at the 5-yard line. Romeo now has brought a corner right into where Jordan needs to go with that football to Malik Heath. And now that play, which should have been open, which is there, is no longer open because Romeo Doubs has brought a defender into that area. And I think if Doubs just runs this route correctly and sits at about the 5-yard line, I think that corners up with him at the 5-6-yard line and Heath's open for a touchdown and Green Bay might score a touchdown on that 4th down play. So again, my big point in all of this, and we have one more play I want to get to as well, is there's so much gray area here to just say at any given moment that it's just play calling. And some of these play calls, I don't like going Malik Heath as your go-to option on a must-have 4th down play down by 7 in the 4th quarter. That's not what I would probably run in that moment. But it probably works if Romeo just runs his route correctly and Jordan hits Malik in stride. So, and then this is, of course, the end result of this play is what almost ends up in a brutal pick 6 and so on and so forth. But again, you end up with a mixture here of, I think, poor execution. I don't love the idea of Malik Heath in a go-to situation, and it shouldn't have even been in that situation because he should have been kicking the field goal anyway. And we have one more play to look at, and this is 2nd and 5. This is a little bit later in the game, 4:06 left in the game. And I just had to look at, you know, one bubble screen here. Matt's not done calling the bubble screens despite Carolina being all over it. You have a 2nd and 5, 4:06 left in the game, down by a touchdown. You're at the Carolina 13-yard line. Got to get in the end zone here. Got to get in the end zone. Matt says, you know what? We got one more wide receiver screen in us. And so they throw the wide receiver screen. And you can see here, look at how well Carolina is all over this. And Savion Williams is bumping right into the back of his tight end again in this play. And this looks like it's going to go for a loss again. Now, thankfully, Savion Williams is able to get this upfield a little bit, actually pick up a first down. This one ends up, I guess, sort of being successful. You end up with a first and goal off of this play. But it's just, this hasn't worked for you all game. This one probably shouldn't have worked either. But with 4:06 left in the game, we're still calling it. We're going to be stubborn. We don't care what the defense is doing and that they're all over these screens and that none of them have worked all game long. Damn it, we're picking up a first down on this play. They did get the first down, but it was a hard worked 6 yards or whatever it ended up being on this play to get the first down by Savion Williams. A little bit better blocking by Romeo Doubs here. Yeah, Musgrave got in the way at least, but overall, just another one where we don't need that play call and that just let Jordan Cook. This one, it worked out okay. But I just found it a little bit funny that 4 minutes left, we're still in half to have it down by a touchdown. We're still calling wide receiver screens, all common sense based on what's happened the rest of the game aside. So where does that leave us? Again, where I really want to, come down on this is, there's a lot of gray area here. You could point to a couple other play calls that maybe you really liked in this game or really didn't like. I thought these were the ones that were more noteworthy than anything else. Some things I want to mention and kind of just call back. Some of the plays earlier in the game where the bubble screens aren't there should have been a tell that, like, hey, Carolina's on us. Maybe that's not going to be our bread and butter this game. Yet 4 minutes left in the game after numerous failed attempts, and we're still attempting it. Even if that one did work, I question, hey, is that maybe the best case scenario in that situation? And then the last thing I want to say here, a lot of this showed you of like, hey, even on some of these play calls that you hated and didn't love, like there was opportunities for them to be successful. There were maybe a couple. The 4th and 10 or the 3rd and 10 screen to Matthew Golden was one I really hated. There was that play early on where you're trying to run a deep shot against a very soft defense that I really didn't like. For the most part, even the ones that were pretty egregious, if they're executed just a little bit better, you have the opportunity to maybe convert on maybe all of them. I think almost all of them could have been a lot better plays than what they ended up. But what I want to tell you is, I know I get labeled as Matt LaFleur's number one apologist or whatever. Even if they were better play calls than maybe they looked on the screen, if your players cannot execute the play that you called, it is inherently a bad play call. It is up to you as the head coach to make sure that the players can execute the plays that you are calling, or you can't call them. So if you're not sure that your players out there can execute the play that you are willing, it doesn't matter if it's the perfect X's and O's on the chalkboard of like, they're in this defense, we're in this offense, and we got them. We have the perfect play to look at here. It doesn't matter, even if that's the case, if your players can't execute that play that you are calling, then it shouldn't be on the play sheet and it shouldn't be called. So it is still the head coach's and play caller's responsibility to make sure that the plays that you are going to call, even if they are drawn up perfectly, even if from an X's and O's standpoint, they are perfect, which a lot of these were not, but even if they were, if your players can't execute them, that still falls on Matt. That still falls on the head coach. So again, my bigger point, my bigger takeaway here is that there was a lot at play here. There was some good plays by the Carolina defense. There was some very poor execution by Green Bay's offense. There was some really dumb play calls in some really key situations. And there were some good play calls that didn't get executed that I think if they do, there's point production and we're maybe talking about this in a different vein and probably Green Bay wins the game. So a lot to parse out, but my overarching takeaway here is it's anytime it's as simple as, oh, just play calling, just know it's usually not. In some situations, it can be, but there's a lot that goes into it and a lot of nuance that's at play. And especially when real time, when the bullets are flying, you got to be able to know what to call. In this game, I didn't think it was Matt's A-plus game. I thought this is one of his poorly navigated games of his career, but there was still some opportunity to be successful if the players were to execute a little bit better. They didn't, and guess what? That falls on Matt too. All right, that does it for me today. Thank you so much for joining along. Hope you guys appreciated some of the plays and look at these with a little bit more of a nuance to it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nino. I'll see you guys tomorrow for game day, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.